May 7th, 2025.
All right, we're about to get started. Good afternoon. I'm calling this hybrid public meeting to order of the Clark County Developmental Disabilities Advisory Board. It is May 7th, 2025. My name is Bob Friedland, serving as acting chair of today's meeting. This meeting is being held in person in room 210A of the Clark County Community Services Building and remotely as a hybrid meeting for remote participants. This meeting is being recorded in audio only format and today's recording will be placed on our public website. Do we have the screen of the agenda?
Yes. Let me get that. Just 1 second. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. I'd like to just review what our order of business is for today's meeting, and I'll also be announcing each of the agenda items for those that are joining us only with audio connections. This evening, we're going to start with community input, and then we're going to move to special orders, which includes community in motion with Jean Ann Edwards and Walt Gordon, who many of you may know already from his past work with us. And then we'll move to hear from John Lund on the 5-year comprehensive plan process. We're going to hear from a board member, Randy Knott, to talk about proposed changes to the way in which we generate letters on approved proposed legislation. And then we're going to have conversations from our advisory board related to a recent town hall. And we'll finalize that with legislative updates from Peace Northwest, Darla, or Hattie.
And Darla and Hattie actually couldn't make it tonight, so they sent their updates that I'll go over briefly.
Fantastic. All right, so community input for the members of the public attending both in person and remotely. One of our first orders of business is to welcome community input. For those in the room, please wait to be recognized. And for those logged in remotely, please wait to be recognized before unmuting your microphone, unless you're using a phone, in which case you can unmute just to let us know you would like to speak. Should we start with board members and staff?
Sure.
Fantastic. Is there anybody from our board or staff that would like to share community input?
I'd like to share some community input. This is Angela. I know most of you, but I'll just go ahead and introduce myself. I'm the program coordinator with Clark County Developmental Disabilities Program, and I wanted to... Should I go now, Bob? Because
sure.
You mentioned that we may want to just wait. I'll raise
go
my
ahead.
Hand.
You can
no,
go.
No, no, no. It's great. Go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. I'm also on the board of the Latino Community Resource Group in Clark County, and we host an annual Multicultural Resource Fair. Our Multicultural Resource Fair is going to be taking place on Saturday, May 31st from 11 to 3. And we invite everyone you know, everyone around you to attend and join us for that event. We will have free food, which is always such an amazing thing for people. And we purchase that food from local small businesses that are minority owned. And so we try to bring a lot of different types of foods in for people to try from our community, recognizing those small businesses. We also will have a kid zone filled with games where you can win prizes, giveaways from different community resources, mostly the library, and a few other agencies come out and hand out books as well. There will be amazing raffle prizes, including an iPad for the lucky person. And then we also have some great entertainers that come out. So locally we have Ballet Folklorico of Southwest Washington. So they do dances that are native to many Latin American countries, and that would be not only Mexico, but also Central and South American dances as well. So we will also have a group of hip-hop line dancers engaging our community this year, and so they'll come out and try and engage people to get moving. So overall, besides that, we have numerous, right now we have more than 40 community resources signed up. One of them is Community in Motion, so be happy to see them there. And so we invite you to join us and have a good time that day.
The department...
I'll go ahead and share save the date in the chat.
Great, and we can link that in the materials that we post on our after the meeting, too. But I did also want to share that the Department of Community Services is also one of the sponsors of that event as well.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, can I also add, we're open if anybody knows any vendors that haven't signed up. We will take those vendors until May 23rd. And we'll close sign-ups then. Additionally, any sponsors have to sign up to be included on our marketing materials by this Friday. So if you know anyone, please let them know.
Thank you so much.
Gabriella raised her hand. I think she may want to share a resource or has a question.
Actually, hi Angela, thank you for sharing. I always volunteer and sign up for that event, and this time around, I haven't seen it on my email. Could you send me the information?
Of course, yeah, we'll
thank
do.
You.
Yeah.
All right, is there anybody else that would like to forward some community input? All righty. Sorry.
Can you come up, Anthony?
Can we have
the mic
over here so that you can get on screen?
Yes. Hi, everyone. Hello, those online and those in person. Happy to see everyone here. I'm Anthony Contreras Sanchez. I'm a training and technical assistance manager at WISE. New to the Vancouver area, but I've been doing this work for about 10 years, so I'm excited to be here. I will say I come from Eastern Washington, and I'm absolutely in love with the Vancouver area. I've enjoyed my time here and really looking forward to spending more time here. So I'm here today just to let everyone know about our community summit that is coming up in June. So this year, the WISE DSHS ADA Community Summit is virtual. And our county partners across the state, we've had quite a few that have reached out about hosting in-person gatherings. And Clark County very graciously has stepped up and said, you know what, the community aspect of the community summit is very important, so we're going to host a community watch party here in Clark County. So I'm here to just share some information about that. It is going to be happening at Clark College. I'm told it's on the 192nd campus. I'm still learning my way around, so I'm hoping everyone will know where that's at. If not, I will find out and share it with Trish.
Yep.
We do have a flyer that we can get sent out. I didn't bring any copies. I don't have a printer at home. And if I can reduce the amount of waste that I'm creating, I try to do that as well. So.
That'll be posted with our meeting materials.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you, Trish.
Uh-huh.
It is on a first-come, first-served basis for the in-person event. I believe there is a capacity limit with that. So to register for the virtual summit and be able to access all of the resources, I believe they're doing a virtual resource fair at lunchtime. You could go to www.communitysummit.ws, and it'll take you to our event page where you can register for the virtual event and then indicate that you are interested in the Clark County event. and indicate any dietary restrictions, any accommodation needs. All that great stuff is on there. It is, if you've already registered, our team will be reaching out with some further details about that as we get closer to the event. It is going to be an amazing opportunity for in-person networking, learning, and community collaborating. I unfortunately won't be here that day. I'll be in Walla Walla supporting their in-person satellite event. But I'm sure it's going to be a jam-packed day of some amazing things. Trish, if you have anything you want to add to like what the day might look like, I know Emily and Robin are working on that.
Yes. Yeah, we've been working on that. I did want to say, too, that there is a once you kind of sign up for the virtual community summit, mm-hmm. then there's an additional sign up to let us know that you'll be here in person. So the WISE team will reach out to you if you've already registered, or you can register through the flyer that goes around. And so I did want to let you know that we are really emphasizing the in-person aspect. The community summit itself as a virtual event left time in place for local communities to connect in this way. So the schedule is not a jam-packed day of just virtual. We're not just be sitting in a room together watching a screen. There is time in the morning before the event starts where we'll be doing sign up and have some refreshments in the morning, get everybody registered and make sure everybody knows where they're going. And then we have time in the morning. There's an hour in the morning in between sessions where we'll be doing some local content and connecting in person. And networking opportunities and things. We'll be having lunch together, and then there's an additional afternoon time which will include some local content and further networking opportunities. So, you know, especially in this kind of time of uncertainty mm-hmm. and potential funding changes, I think that funding cuts specifically, I really am leaning into the idea of communities and our community supporting each other. Mm-hmm. I think that it's really an important opportunity for us to come together in person to connect in this way. So we're hoping to get a variety of people, organizations represented there, certainly people with disabilities and families, our contracted organizations, other partner organizations, Developmental Disabilities Administration case managers, DVR counselors, and other community organizations to join us there. We will have kind of a mini resource fair. We decided that because we really want to emphasize the in-person aspect of this, we're calling it a watch party. I just heard somebody say, I don't know if we should call it a party, but that's what we called it. But we're really emphasizing the in-person aspect. So we are not going to be offering a way to connect to the virtual resource fair that's going to be available for virtual participants. But of course, if you had your own device, you could go and check that out on lunch if you wanted to. That's when that's going to be offered. We will have a very mini resource fair, just a few organizations, and anybody that is interested can reach out to us about being part of our mini resource fair. But we're just going to have a few organizations there, likely DVR, DDA, county, and anybody else that kind of asks if they want to join us, probably. This has come together on a pretty short time frame, and the WISE team has just done a really outstanding job of pulling it all together, so we're really grateful for that. And I hope that y'all will take the opportunity to come together in our local community to watch this. Yeah.
As a Gen Xer, I registered and it was really easy. And 2 days later, I got the in-person one. So it
was working
very well.
Oh, good.
Great to hear. Thank you.
Yes.
Another thing I want to add with the summit is that all sessions will be in English. They're also doing Spanish interpreting and ASL interpretation for all sessions. And all material will be translated in Spanish as well ahead of time.
Excellent.
Great. And certainly any other interpretation or translation needs, if people let us know, we will accommodate that as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just wanted to add that that there are breakout sessions, mm-hmm. and is the does that building accommodate separate rooms? How are you planning for that?
I believe so. Yes, my understanding is there will be separate rooms for the breakout sessions, so we can stream all of them in person.
Yep. Yeah. So, and the registration, the in-person part of it, kind of asks which one you would like to join, because we've got kind of a main room that can we'll be able to fit the whole group, and then some smaller rooms for the breakout sessions. So, yeah.
Right.
That's all I've got. So,
okay.
Any if there's any questions or anything, feel free to reach out to me or my coworker Emily. My email is anthony@gowise.org. Hers is emily@gowise.org.
Okay.
Hi, this is Gabriela. Thank you for sharing. I actually signed up for the conference, and I thought it's, oh no, all together, one room. So I said, no, thank you, no in person, but now that you explain it, like, that makes sense. So how do we change our registration? Because I said no in person, because I thought, like, all together, one is like, mm-hmm. no, thank you. So.
I think in the confirmation, you should be able to go back in and update your registration if there's anything you need to change. So I think you can update it there. If not, let me know and I'd be happy to figure that out.
Submitted the virtual one and there was a checkup box if you were interested in it, mm-hmm. like 2 days later, I got the invitation to the real one. So it might be coming, Ariella.
I think she said that she didn't want to join.
Oh,
the in-person one originally, because the idea, which I get, like, are we just gonna, well, or is it just gonna be us all just sitting in a room all day? You know, it's like, I can do that from my own computer instead of, you know, yeah.
That makes sense. Everybody sitting in one room, like, no, I don't think I can do that.
Yeah, no, I hear ya. Yeah, yeah, we're hoping to make it engaging. There will be, I mean, we will be watching the sessions together, but hopefully we'll kind of be moving around and, you know, have some time for engagement too.
Fantastic.
Okay.
All right. Any other community members that would like to do community input online or here in the room?
Angela, did you have something? I see your hands up.
I just have a question about the Community Summit event locally. I'm wondering if there's a flyer or anything. Did you mention that? I may have missed that when you were talking, Anthony.
Yes, we have a flyer, and I will make sure it gets sent out to everyone.
Yeah, and we'll add it.
We
have just sent it out. I think it might have even just gone out, like, yesterday. And so, and then we'll also link it on our the DDAB meeting materials as well.
All right. Well, that was a wonderful sharing moment. I'd like to now move to our special orders, and we will now hear from Jean Ann Edwards and Walt Gordon of Community in Motion. And then,
would you like us to come?
It would be only because of this crazy owl thing.
Exactly. No problem. Should it be better for you because of the angle?
No, sure, you could see yourself.
Oh, okay.
If you're next to each other, probably.
Oh, perfect. Well, I want to introduce, for those of you that haven't had the opportunity to meet Jean Ann Edwards, she's our executive director at Community in Motion. You may recognize me. I've been around for a while. Some say dirt. I don't think it's dirt, but my point is that I'm very happy to see y'all and very happy that you're making the sacrifice to help, you know, other people. You really are working as advocates, as consumers, and as, you know, people that care about their community. And so that's what Community in Motion really has in its core. It used to be called the Human Services Council. Before that, it was, what was some of the other names?
Social Service Agency of Clark County. I don't remember. It's had four names in its 30 years.
So it's kind of funny that community in motion, the iteration that we have right now, is really probably the more accurate depiction as far as what the agency's purpose, mission, and efforts are. And part of that is also giving me the opportunity as the board chair to talk to the community, talk to other individuals, other agencies, other advisory groups to say, hey, listen, we want to listen to your advice. We want to understand better that the efforts that we're making to move forward as far as assisting transportation is appropriate and it's sensitive. We haven't forgotten something. I don't know about you, but I forget things all the time. And by the way, no, cheap joke, okay. But anyway, my point of it is that the organization really is at a crossroads right now where it's saying, you know, we want to have more input from the community. Just like the events that are being planned, it's that chance to interweave the needs of community in motion as far as the non-emergency medical transportation with serving the greater agencies, greater community. Does that make sense? Maybe not. So that's the reason why we have Jeanne here, is to be able to explain to you what all we do and also what her vision is as far as a leader. And in turn, I can kind of give you the pitch as far as I need some additional volunteers. You knew it, it's had to be the cost, okay? Jeanne, I'm going to put that away.
I do want to thank you guys for coming. It was really good for me to know that the two events that you discussed today are two events we've already signed up for. So that was exciting. Because at times I do feel like maybe we are not as plugged in as we need to be in all of the areas that we want to be. So as Walt's little stand-up show said, we have been around for over 70 years, but we are one of those nonprofits that a lot of people don't know about. Transportation is not sexy and nobody knows about it until you don't have it, which is the reality. So we have quite a few programs to help with transportation. The main one is that we are the Medicaid broker for this part of the state, so for Southwest Washington. So anybody who's going to a doctor's appointment that's covered by Medicaid, we can provide transportation for it. But we also have an employment transportation program that helps low-income individuals with getting to job interviews, getting job skills to training, or to get them to their job on a regular basis as well. We've run that program for like 20 years. We have also a program that just funds people who need to go to life-sustaining, so dialysis, cancer treatments, that type of stuff. We can help out. We are the volunteer driver program in Clark County. So we have about 30 volunteers helping out. COVID really hit that program, but we're back at about 1,000 trips a year or so on it and hope to, you know, double that again this year. But we have a mobility manager in town, and that's one of the things I think we should really plug in here with. Her job is just to see how we help people in the community with transportation issues. So we might be helping with an auditory signal one day. She may be talking with city planners a day. She's on most of the road projects, that type of stuff. But it's just really who has a transportation issue, and if you don't know where to go, we will help navigate that for you. So we try to stay busy. We try to, you know, just find where the next transportation issue is that isn't being addressed by something, and then just work to try to solve those problems. So I just wanted to come out and want to make sure everybody knew what programs we have, but then also just, you know, to say, you know, getting to work with people like Trish and Darla and the community and just seeing what advisory groups can do, that is not something that we've ever been really strong at. We pull in people as we need them, but like an isolated little, you come give us particular wisdom and then, right? And so Walt and I have really been trying to look at how we can do things differently and really expand the reach in our community. And so getting to go to other advisory groups and getting to ask people that run other nonprofits to come in and talk to us and just get more of that is our focus this year, really working at advocacy. And I really appreciate that you guys have allowed us to come in and talk.
I think we're at a crossroad, not a crossroad, this is too dramatic, I'm sorry.
We should grow.
I have Eric Clapton on the board. Anyway, we're at a juncture where we have to say, okay, how can we be more effective as advocacy groups? Community in Motion, CD Advisory Board, Council for the Blind, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How can we be more effective to communicate the needs that are out there? Because to be honest with you, if it wasn't for some type of accessible transportation, whether or not it's C-Tran, C-Van, Volunteers in Motion, whatever it may be, private carriers, how are people going to get the services? What's the quality of life going to be for those people that unfortunately have the restriction of, you know, not having transportation, you know, accessible transportation? You know, I'm finding that out right now. I have a back problem. Getting in and out of my wife's car is like, you know, and it's not a small car. So just that dynamic of a temporary bad back and an old man, okay, has really kind of lit me up a little bit as far as we can't forget about accessible transportation. And that's why I've come here, is to try to get not only people physically in this room, but those people in the big black huge TV that would be great for World Series, but anyway, to work with us together as and help us with advice by being yourself available and saying, hey, listen, you know, give me a call, we can help, because what you're advising is not me, not Jean Ann, but the board of directors. And that's the stewardship, that's the direction. So that's the sales pitch.
Have you guys been affected by any of the cuts?
Every day is a new journey, just like most of us right now. So we haven't been cut, but our in-kind has changed significantly with most of our funders. So having to put more cash in than we've ever had to. And we just found out that one of our programs went from a 20% match to a 50% match.
There's a Gabriella, do you have your hand raised? Is there any other questions to In Motion from out there?
Actually, yes, I couldn't unmute, I'm sorry. I have all the questions tonight, I'm sorry. I wish I could have been there in person. I have referred people to Community in Motion. Now I have a question. Mm-hmm. So this is for families. I know the families that I refer to your services have Medicaid. But when you talk about employment, do they have to have Medicaid? Do they need to have DDA services? I didn't know you had anything for employment until now. So that's why my question. Thank you.
Yeah, so Medicaid is not, I'm sorry, employment is not Medicaid, is not one of the criteria, it's income-based is the only criteria on that one. And they work through an employment partner. So they might work through CVAP or Goodwill, WorkSource, something like that. That's who actually does the paperwork, and then we make sure that they get the transportation that they need. Most of it's through bus passes, but a lot of it's door-to-door.
So even if they don't have DDA services, they can access your services?
Certainly.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. The non-emergency medical transportation is the only thing that's Medicaid or anything like that driven. Everything else is either anyone with a disability or anyone 65 or older or have a disability, or the employment is just income.
That's awesome. Thank you.
You bet.
Are we going to get your information through the email that...
Do you have this
It's all soft on our website too.
Okay, we can link your website with the material, the meeting materials too.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it has all the other programs too on it. And the other languages.
Thank you. Yeah, I had no clue that you guys did that. I knew about transportation.
See, that's why we need to come to more of these, right? Even if people know one of ours.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody?
Well, let me, is there any other comments from the room or from our virtual guests? Well, thank you, Jean Ann and Walt. We very much appreciate the information that you provided today.
Hope you get out of here in time to enjoy some of the sunshine that's now being covered over by clouds.
All righty. Well, next we have John Lund, who will be discussing the upcoming work on our five-year comprehensive plan process.
Can you see me and hear me?
Yes, we can now see you, and we can see a screen full of some of the planning. Perfect.
Online we can.
Let me ask you one more time. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes.
Okay, great. Actually, I think I'm giving too much credit on the agenda since what we're presenting tonight is what we refer to as the community PowerPoint. We discussed it with the board last time at the work session, and we have a finished copy for you to review. And Mr. Chair, we did actually do quick notes for this as well, as per your comment last time. But I think Trish is going to do the majority of this, and I'll just do the last few slides. Are you ready to do that, Trish?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm just going to kind of run through this pretty quickly. We are at the point of doing our five-year comprehensive plan. This will be our 2026 to 2030 plan. So we're in the last year of our previous plan, right now, and planning for our next one. We anticipate completing the plan in January of 2026, and then, you know, moving forward with the activities laid therein. One of the things that is really important to us about our planning process is that we get input and feedback from the community, and that helped shape and form our priorities for the next 5 years. So let's just look at the process. I wanted to talk a little bit about orienting the developmental disabilities within the county. So we're part of the department, Clark County Community Services. This is the mission, vision, and values of, or the programs administered by the department. So we are one program within community services. Community services responds to the homelessness crisis. They provide behavioral health services, veterans assistance fund, and youth programs. We have an equity statement. Our department has been working on equity, specifically leading with racial equity, but also really concerned with the intersections between race, disability, and the LGBTQIA community as well. So this is our statement to the community about how we hope to achieve more equitable services. So the Developmental Disabilities Program with the Advisory Board has our mission and vision specific to Developmental Disabilities Program, and that is to assist all people with developmental disabilities to achieve full, active, and productive lives. And we want to have people that are fully participating community members in a community where each person is recognized and appreciated for their gifts and contributions. People are seen, differences are celebrated. In Washington State, in case you didn't know, is number one in the country for employment of people with developmental disabilities. We partner with nonprofits, community-based organizations, local governments, and we serve people in providing direct support related to early supports for infants and toddlers, supported employment, community inclusion, and we also do community information and education about, with, and for, and on behalf of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities and their families. This is about the advisory board. The advisory board is a 10-member volunteer advisory board. Their role is to advise county council and program staff on effectiveness and efficiency of programs. Our meetings are every other month. They take place on the first Wednesday of the month at 5:15, and that's when our public meetings are. And there's opportunity for community input at each meeting. Our staff, we keep our staff small, and that is intentional because we want all of our resources to get out into the community to provide community services. So our program, it consists of one program manager, that's myself, Trish Disher. We have two program coordinators, Kristen Wade and Angela Gomez, two office assistants, Trudy Cumberbatch, Sherry Osterman, and one half-time office aide, Alex Koval. And we work together to oversee the programs that we provide, the programs and services that we provide. This is a list of organizations that we contract with in the community. As I said, we keep our in-county staff small so that we can get resources out into the community and community-based organizations. This is our plan development process. So we put community feedback at the top, although this is really a cycle. So think of it just depending on where we are in the cycle, then we kind of start all over at the end of the 5 years. So community feedback, we collate and summarize and share back what we receive, the input that we receive from the community. That determines our draft priorities. The board approves the priorities and we start drafting the actual plan activities. The plan is published, implemented on the website. We measure effectiveness and revise the plan. We review the plan and then we start all over with community input again. And that's where we are right now, is that we're going to be starting the community input portion of this process. And then at the bottom, we have state and federal contracts, because of course we need to follow all applicable, laws, regulations, policies, et cetera. And certainly what we are contracted to provide. These are the things that we both contract for, as well as things that have been prioritized in the past. When we've gone out to seek community input. So as you can see, there's a lot of things that our community is concerned with. We are, you know, I think that as we go into this next 5-year planning process, we are dealing with some uncertainty, which seems to be the name of the game. I think when we did the last plan, it was 2020, we were dealing with COVID. So, you know, we do our best to plan what the next 5 years is going to look like. And we really want our plan to reflect what the community would like to see and what we have. You know, we obviously have to meet and provide what we are funded to provide. And then there's other things that we need to be involved in and kind of considering as well. So some of these things we're contracted for, other things are... These are what we've heard from the community as needs. John, did I just keep going on the plan? I think John was going to do part of the presentation, but I think I just took it over. So anyway, we would love to get feedback. We'd love to attend any community groups or boards, organizations. We will be reaching out to a list of organizations that we've developed. We will have an actual survey that can be completed online, or if you like a hard copy for whatever reason, we can mail those out. You can comment by email, phone, or other media that works for you. There's our contact information. And that's our planning process. So John, did you have anything that you wanted to add to that? I think I was supposed to stop at some point, but I was on a roll.
I recall telling you that it was fine with me if you did the whole thing.
Okay.
And so that was one of the easiest presentations after thousands and thousands of them I've ever made. So I have nothing to add.
Well, thanks, John. And I just, for those of you that might not know John, John is a consultant that has worked with our program for, gosh, I don't know, 30 years? 32
years.
32 years. And has helped us with a number of our plans, as well as other, you know, staff development and consulting needs that we've had. So John has been really instrumental in helping to shape and form what our comprehensive plan looks like to reflect the needs in our community. So we're really glad to have John here helping us, and I really do let him do things. So just so you know, you know, he does a lot of work for us.
That's fine, Trish. You did a great job.
Okay, thanks. So any questions or comments about this? Is really just to kind of orient us to what that process is going to look like and share what we're up to. Yeah.
Will we be able to have that survey at some of the events we just heard about?
Yes. So what we're planning is to, we will be updating this to include a QR code so that even as we're doing presentations, we'll be able to, you know, people could whip out their phone and do the survey right then if they wanted to. We will have probably printed on maybe a piece of paper that we tape on the table, a QR code, as well as, you know, maybe a few printed surveys. People don't really seem to want to do printed surveys. People are, you know, used to technology now, you know. So we'll probably take a few printed things. But we'll be working with the advisory board about, we do have some community events that our department is sponsoring. So we'll be reaching out to advisory board members to see if there's ones that you would like to attend with us and talk about what we're doing and share information with the community. So yes.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
And is this an example of a PowerPoint slide set that you would?
This is it.
This is actually, John, this is excellent. Yes. This is right to the point.
Yes.
Compliments to the both of you. This is great.
Well done.
We tried to keep it.
If you like that, you should appreciate the cryptos as well.
Yes. So that's, you know, basically, and I think that, oh yeah, you couldn't see it, but on my screen, there are actual notes that go with each slide. So, you know, if, I foresee this, if there are advisory board members that are interested in going to present to community groups with me or with staff, you know, there are crib notes, I think is what we were calling it, but there's also notes in the, that will be in the PowerPoint presentation with the talking points.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you, John. This is an excellent introduction to, when we get to meet you next month.
I'll look forward to it.
All right. Should I move on?
Yes.
All right. Our next order of business is to open a discussion on crafting future written responses to public officials from items that we have already approved within our legislative agenda. I call now on Randy Knott to begin this discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Sorry, I thought I did.
Sorry, I'm trying to get back to the
technology. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry.
it's not just.
There we go. Okay.
Hi, everybody. So one of the items I brought up at a previous meeting was the concept that there is a delay time between the time we find out about legislation affecting our population and our ability to get a letter, a position out. And previously, I had served for many years as a government affairs director for cities and counties, and one of the things we had the county council adopt was the idea that if it was in the legislative agenda, then staff was perfectly able to go ahead, craft the letter, run it by the chair, and get it out so that we could be timely. One of the difficulties this year was that there were so many bills that had potential effect for us, it was almost impossible to discuss them, take a position, and do that. So we asked staff to go ahead, look at it in terms of the city, the county allowing us to in fact do that and requesting that that be taken into consideration. And that was the motion that was approved by the committee. And now we're back to discuss how we can make that happen.
Well, I think that that is what we're doing here is to, for right. the advisory board to take action to, if y'all want to approve that.
So I would like to put a motion out that we, and I'll be looking for a second, that we empower staff to create legislative position letters on items that have already been adopted in our formal legislative agenda, and that after a review by the chair or whoever they designate, and staff, that those letters can go out in a timely manner. Do I have a second? Anyone?
This is Gabriella. I second it. Sorry, I'm driving.
Thank you, Gabriella.
And so let us just take a moment to allow for further discussion. I just want to add in that the members can suggest edits and approve such letters via email or by phone. Perhaps we can include that in the motion as well.
I would accept that amendment to the motion and also note that it would no longer require an additional public hearing for us to make it more official for us to be able to go ahead and communicate that through staff.
Any other comments from board members? I'll give a moment more for thoughtful thinking about any questions you may have. Otherwise, I will be moving in just a moment.
Can I make a comment?
Please
do. Staff? So the way that I would see this happening is that as we become aware of issues, and this is, specifically based on the legislative agenda that y'all have developed. And just as a reminder, y'all work on the legislative agenda starting in September. It's finalized at the November meeting. That's kind of what your priorities are that then you go and talk to the legislators about at meetings that used to happen in January, but now they kind of spread out because we have virtual, and that's when the legislators tell us they can meet with us. So the way that I would see this happening is that as issues come up, I would bring it to the attention probably of the chair and the vice chair, that, hey, there's this thing coming up, should we draft something? And then we would draft it and send it out to the advisory board. And it would likely be like a day or two that we would give y'all time to review, edit, bring forward any changes. And then so that we could move forward with signature of the board chair and getting it where it needs to go. Because things can move pretty quickly. And so, and I think that that is the intention, but I just wanted to voice that is how it would practically look as we went for, if y'all decide to go forward with this.
And that sounds great. My only question would be is we can give a set time for comments so that it can still get out in a timely manner.
Yeah.
So if everybody doesn't, a lot of people, that looks fine.
Yeah.
But they don't comment, we're still good to go.
Still move forward.
Excellent.
Yeah. That sounds like it's about what y'all want. So, yeah.
All right. And are there any others on the board out there that would like to contribute? Gavin, is there any comments you'd like to make? Fantastic. All right, well then perhaps it's time for us to take a vote. So with no further discussion, I'd like all those in favor to please unmute and say aye.
Aye.
And all opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Well then thank you. The motion passes, as far as I can tell, unanimously. Fantastic. So now we'll move on to a D in our agenda. We'll now hear from the advisory board members reflecting on Representative Lusenkamp Perez's town hall back on April 24th. And I'd appreciate anybody that had an opportunity to wait inside or outside of the building to make their comments known to the rest of the board.
I'm not sure if anybody actually did go, but we thought we would hold this in case there were people that went and wanted to share. So it's possible, I guess, that nobody went.
All right. So let me move to item E, which is now on a sheet of paper from Peace Northwest. People who are remote, are they able to see this particular?
I will send it. I'm going to ask Angela, if I send this to you, can you email it to the advisory board?
Absolutely. And that, there were other things that needed to go out too. Should I don't remember.
I think the other things we can link on the website and share, okay. Share that way. Okay, I just sent it. Okay, so Hattie and Darla unfortunately couldn't be here tonight. They send their regrets and sent this summary. And so I'm just going to go over kind of high level what they said about the highlights of the budget. So this is talking specifically about the state budget related to intellectual and developmental disabilities. I did ask them to come to the next public meeting to go over this maybe in a little bit more detail than I'm going to, as well as talk about any updates from the federal government that they're hearing. There's a lot that might happen between now and then that y'all might be interested in. The operating budget highlights, there was a reduction in the no paid services caseload. So what this means effectively is that the number of people that no paid services case managers have is increased. So there's this thing called no paid services caseload. And what that means is that if you are eligible for services with DDA, but you're not receiving any paid services, that there is somebody that you can call. If there's something that you need or you have a question, that there is somebody that you can call. As you can imagine, that caseload is very large. I'm not exactly sure how much larger it is becoming with this cut, but it is going to become, there's going to be more people to one case manager. Not that there's one case manager statewide, but there's a larger number of people to each case manager that they have for this no paid services. A good news is that community respite was increased by 1 hour a month.
One whole hour.
So a little bit, yeah, a little bit more. The waiver service rate increased, including overnight planned respite, enhanced respite, crisis diversion, community engagement, and specialized habilitation. As you all may know, there has been a real challenge with securing enough staff capacity to be able to provide services through DDA and our county service provider, our county service providers too, but all service providers have had a challenge with staffing. So increasing that service provider rate hopefully will help with some of that. They funded some demonstration sites for inclusive and behavior practices. Includes the Reduce Isolation Project that was funded. I'm guessing 5253 is a bill number. In the capital budget, there is $55 million set aside for developmental disabilities housing, so that's good news. Bills that were passed include the closing of, well, the bill was named Closing Yakima Valley and Rainier School. Yakima Valley, well, neither of them are actually closing. What the bill ended up being is that Rainier School will be closed to accepting new referrals. So they didn't actually close it. And I think that that is starting. They wanted to start it, you know, right away, but that will begin in a, it'll be a few years yet. Let's see here. Extending special education services to students with disabilities until the school year in which a student turns 22. So I think that you may remember that this was a change that was made, that this was permissible, but that there wasn't any funding assigned to it. So I'm guessing that that tries to fix this. Special education funding removes the funding cap. I'm not really sure what that one means. So Darla and Hattie can hopefully come tell us about it. There is a bill limiting rent, fees, and deposits for tenants that passed and has been delivered to the governor's desk. And there is House Bill 1130 that prioritized waivers for clients over 45 years old. So this advisory board had identified as one of your priorities the idea and concern that there are aging caregivers that are caring for aging people with disabilities, that those aging caregivers may be needing support themselves at some point. And so this tries to prioritize waiver services for individuals that are 45 years or older. So you can imagine if the individual is 45 years old, their parent is probably at least, you know, well, is older than that. Yeah, around 65 or older. Other thoughts and details. They said that this session was a success. We were expecting to take huge cuts and keep basic needs funding. Most of the current funding is continuing. I will share also that in the budget there is a $50 million underspend that is being swept for employment and day program services and family supports. The best outcome of a budget is not cutting anything, and the second best is cutting something that wasn't being spent anyway. So DDA is trying to figure out what that means for employment and day program services, because that will directly affect the services that we provide. We are not one of the underspending counties. I want y'all to know that. We have a problem of underemployment and isolation of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And here in Clark County, we're going to put all of our resources available to address that issue. And we do. So that's yet to come we'll find out what the impact of that, underspend sweep, means for us. It's not likely to be an effective cut for us because we spend our money, and it was money that was not spent in other places. So I would hope that that wouldn't mean that we would be cut. Linked on this document are the operating budget, side by side, bills of interest, and the legislative notebook from the state arc. And Hattie's information is on there as well if y'all have questions. Like I said, I've invited them back to the next meeting, where they can give us, a little bit more about legislative session. And by then we should know how things are kind of shaking out as well, because I think sometimes things get passed and then it's like we see what the real impact is. So we'll have a little bit more information. Any questions that I can try to answer?
I'm sorry, can I just clarify, am I sharing this with the public list or just the board members when you forward it to me?
You can share it with everybody, with the advisory board and the public list. Thanks, Angela.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me thank Darla and Hattie and in their absence.
Yes.
And thank you, Trish, for making this very clear. As you say, it'll be the proof is in the pudding, right? So we'll wait for that to all happen. All right. Well, there's no additional agenda items to discuss. So I would like to move to adjourn today's meeting. Do I have a second?
Sure.
We received a second. Let's see. So from Randy. And so now I think that Shall we ask if we, should we be asking for a vote?
I think we usually just.
All right. So I'm new to this. So I'm going to say that officially our meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for your ears and your patience.
Have a great night.
Thanks, Bob.